I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, in the first chapter, I'm only going to read one verse. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, and unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. My message deals with the foreknowledge of God. Here the Bible says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. The foreknowledge of God causes the Calvinists to really get confused. They confuse the foreknowledge of God with predestination. But we're thankful for the foreknowledge of God. I thought about my own family. My mom and dad had 10 children. Started out with Linda Lou, Brenda Sue, David Allen. And mom was expecting James Edward. And she was lifting David, which was the baby, out of the baby bed. And when she did, her womb burst. So dad took her to the hospital. And the nurses didn't understand. Thought she was just some young lady having a baby and was all excited. But mom knew there was something wrong. And finally, when the doctor got there, they said to my dad that the womb had bursted and the baby was drowning, dying. We have to do immediate surgery. We're definitely going to lose the baby. It's possible that we are going to lose your wife. They did the surgery. The doctor, after the surgery, of course, the baby was born dead, James Edward. He said, now you know this means that you'll never be able to have any more children because we had to completely remove the womb. He said, however, I saw something that I've never seen in my life. There was something about the size of the end of my thumb that looked like it was a new womb. And guess what? It was just a little over a year that Stephen Ray was born. What a little over a year that Robert Lee was born. Then Gail Ann, and then Larry Wayne, Joyce Kay, and Wanda Faye. So God can do anything, can't he? So God knew all this was going to happen through his foreknowledge. God saw what was going to happen. And he put that little womb in there so mom and dad could have a few more children. I know some of you would be glad if that would have never happened. I wouldn't be here today. But anyway, you know, God is good. He foresees things. You'd be surprised if you could just know the things that God looked ahead and he saved us from tragedy. The foreknowledge of God. You know, I just believe it like this. I believe that before Brother Decker got saved and before Sister Decker got saved, that God knew that he was going to be the pastor here someday. Amen. You know what I believe? Through the foreknowledge of God, God saw Brother Decker out in sin and he said, I'm going to save him someday and he's going to be the pastor at God's Acres. So I'm going to see to it he gets a good wife. One that'll be Church of God and loves the truth. So I believe all this was in the hand of God. And God saved him and her many years ago, and they sat under Brother Emerson Wilson for so many years, got rooted in the grounded in the truth. So God had a man ready to be the next pastor when God called Brother Emerson Wilson home. All that happened through the foreknowledge of God. Thank God for the foreknowledge of God. Now the question is divine election unconditional? According to the Bible, election is based on God's foreknowledge of those who repent and believe the gospel. So salvation depends upon the personal repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Now, so many people have such a hard time understanding foreknowledge of God and predestination, so we want to try to illustrate it like this. A school teacher on the first day of class told his students that some would pass and some would fail the course that they were about to take. But the school teacher went on and described the things necessary for one to be able to pass the class. At the end of the school year, just as the teacher had said, some passed and some failed. Since the teacher predestinated the outcome before it began, does that mean that he caused everyone in the class to either pass or fail? Not at all. But he knew that some of the students would not apply themselves, so he was able to make that prediction. Likewise, God predestinated, even before he made this world, that his church would be holy, and that the church that he was going to be building would be a church that's conformed to the image of the Son of God. God predestinated that. God predetermined that when he built a church, it's going to be a holy church. And this church that he was going to build would be a church that's conformed to the image of the Son of God. Therefore, it's up to each individual to do those things that's necessary to be found in Christ and have genuine salvation. Friend, it's not the ideal that God, back in the council halls of eternity, looked ahead in future and said, well, I think I'll save this one, and send this one to hell and save this one, make this one be lost. He didn't do that. He left it up to the individuals. The weatherman may say, 100% chance of rain tomorrow. If it rains tomorrow, it's not just going to rain because the weatherman said, but he knew by certain conditions what was going to happen. Amen. If it pours rain all day tomorrow, it didn't happen because the weatherman said so. Amen. Let's illustrate like this. Let's imagine a man who we'll call John, and we give him a decision to make. For the sake of simplicity, we will say that he only has two possible choices, and we'll label it choice A and choice B. Now, John has no idea what he will choose, but he feels inwardly that he has complete power over the choice. He feels, I can choose A, or I can choose B. However, God, because of his foreknowledge, already knows that John is going to choose B. This is absolute knowledge. And it will definitely happen because God has foreknowledge. So does John still have a free will? Can John choose A or B as he feels? Or is he predetermined to choose B? That is John foreordained to do what God knows he will do? No, John freely chooses B, as God in his eternal view knew that he would do. And that's the way it is with predestination. That's the way it is with the foreknowledge of God. Because God knows something ahead of time does not mean that we're a bunch of robots and we have no choice in the matter. Now, God has the ability to foreknow all future events, but he has not foreordained all future events. Just because God knows what's going to happen does not mean that God foreordained everything that's going to happen. The Bible lets us know in Isaiah 46 and verse number 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Though God has the ability to look in the future, there's no scripture that says that he looks ahead in every individual to see what they will do in every situation. So God allows us to make the decisions of our own free choice. Yet he allows man to make many decisions on his own. Man has a free will to make his own decisions. Man does not have a totally uninhibited free will. I cannot just will myself to be a foot taller than I am, and you can't either. No person can will that their eyes would change to another color. Some have taken free will far beyond its biblical proportions and have fallen into their own errors. My answer to the problem is that foreknowledge is not the same as predestination. Foreknowledge itself, my friend, is not causative. That is, to know a future action is not the same as causing that future action. God predestinates people only on the basis of their repentance and faith, which he foresees that certain people will produce by their self-determining power. This is a vast difference than what the Calvinists would have us to believe. Therefore, foreknowledge is not to be confused with the predetermined will of God. God does have a predetermined will, but it does not determine every action of created beings. Let me illustrate. Did you know that I have a level of foreknowledge? It's extremely limited, and sometimes it might be a little faulty. However, it's the closest I can come to the real thing, and it will have to do for the purpose of illustration. What I mean is this: there are times when I know what someone is going to do. I mean, I know, and I'm seldom wrong about it. It's true that I'm so much different from God because I base my foreknowledge on past knowledge of the person's actions. God doesn't have to do that. God has true foreknowledge. But it's still knowledge of what someone will do before they do it. And I'm sure that every one of you have the same experience on some occasions. You know the ways of your wife. You know the ways of your husband. You know how your wife is going to react to certain situations, right? You could say amen. You know how your husband is going to react to certain situations. You know enough about your children that you, when something happens, you know their attitude about it. You know how they're going to react to the situation. For instance, I've got a daughter, and I could predestinate. I could put her on speakerphone tonight and just call her. I could be wrong, but chances are I'd be right. I don't want to get embarrassed. But I'd get on there and say, hey, Elena, guess what? And tell her some news. She'd say, you got to be kidding me. I just about predestinate. That's what she's going to say. I got another son. Every time I call him, Andrew, every time I call him, he said, what's going on? That's the way he responds. That's how he answers the phone. So we have a certain amount of foreknowledge. Has our foreknowledge, because I know what Lena's going to say, because I know what Andrew is going to say, does that mean they don't have a will in the matter? Absolutely not. To know what decision someone will make is not the same as forcing them to make that decision. And that's what the Calvinists say, that God forces certain individuals to be saved. And that's far from the truth. From his eternal vantage point, God knows what we're going to do, and my friend, what will happen in full. Some of these things he may even directly cause to happen. However, he works in time. He can also allow us the freedom to make our own decisions. In many cases, though, he knows what the decision is going to be. That does not require a fatalistic control over all things in the universe, as the Calvinists would have us to believe. Who are the elect? There's a scripture that if you don't rightly divide it, it'll mislead you. It's got to be rightly divided. And I'd like for you to turn there with me in Matthew 24 and verse number 24. He says in Matthew 24 and verse number 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now the Calvinists take this passage of scripture and say, see there, the elect can never be deceived. Because the Bible says, if it were possible, seemingly saying that it's not possible. But they fail to realize it were is in italics in your Bible. That means there's no Greek word for that. That's what I like about the King James Version, because it puts the words they added in italics. So we can read this verse like this and not change it at all. Matthew 24, 24, for there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's a world of difference. It is possible that the elect can be deceived. Every one of us that's here that's saved, we are a part of the elect, God's elect. But there's no scripture that you can take from the Bible and say, once you're elect, you're always elected. I had to meet conditions in order to become a part of God's elect. And every one of you had to meet conditions in order to become a part of God's elect. And that's not all. We have to continue, meet conditions, and walk in the light of God's eternal word in order to remain a part of God's elect. Peter and Paul and John speak about election and elected, which means picked out, selected, chosen. And God picked us all out. God chose us. Somebody said, once chosen, always chosen. Well, Judas was chosen, but he sinned. And according to the Old Testament, his name was once in the book of life. But his name was blotted out of the book of life when he sinned. And if Judas' name, one of the disciples' name, could be blotted out of the book of life, my name can be blotted out, and your name can be blotted out. And when our name is blotted out, we cease to be a part of God's elect. And the Bible clearly teaches in Revelation, the third chapter, I think it's verse number 5, that it's possible that our names can be blotted out. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. What's that saying? Friend, that's saying if we don't overcome as Christians, our names will be blotted out of the book of life. Peter was quoting Isaiah 28 and verse number 16 in 1 Peter 2:6. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The elect then are those that's chosen by God. Christ is the elect one. The Bible says in Isaiah 42:1, behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Members of his body, the church, are elected in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you know as well as I know that the nation of Israel was God's elect. Isaiah 45 and verse number 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. This shows that we should think of the elect as a corporate body, and that individuals may become a part of that body. God knew beforehand that there would be a corporate body known as Israel. But does this not necessarily mean that he particularly specified the individuals who would make up that body? In fact, if you know your Bibles, non-Israelites could, by agreeing to the terms of the covenant, become a part of that elect body. It could be said that individuals joining the elect body were elected in Abraham. That is, they became partakers of the divine blessings of God promised to the nation that descended from Father Abraham. This is our crucial understanding of the church as God's elect. Just as God knew that there was going to be a corporate body called the church, or called Israel, he knew there's going to be a corporate body called the church. And just as individuals wishing to be a part of God's elect nation could do so by agreeing to the terms of the old covenant, so individuals today may become a part of God's elect or God's church by complying with the terms of the new covenant. And what are those terms? Repentance and believing on Christ, being born again. That's what makes us a part of this elect body. They say that the elect were particularly chosen or marked out for salvation long before they were born, and that God selected them unconditionally. But friend, this is far from the truth. God does not elect people unconditionally. God elects people when they meet the conditions for real salvation. God forces his will upon no one. Rather, he's a seeking God. Jesus said that the Father is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. This tells us that God is looking for something in human creatures. And he implies that he responds favorably to those that he knows will worship him in spirit and in truth. This is vastly a different picture than the Calvinist depiction of God who arbitrarily predetermines who would worship him and who would not worship him. In the book of Romans, the 9th chapter, verse number 1, here the apostle Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers, of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever, amen. Paul earnestly sought the salvation of his fellow Israelites, the majority of whom rejected Jesus Christ. Does this suggest that Paul believed that proclaiming the good news of salvation could result in the salvation of those who remained lost had they not heard the gospel? If so, then, doesn't this mean that the membership into the elect's body has not been predetermined and is therefore conditional? I say it absolutely does. Paul believed by the heavy burden he was carrying, the continual sorrow. He had such a desire. He travailed in birth to such a degree. He said, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, which are in the flesh, my kinsmen. Therefore, in the end, repentance and faith, amen, is what causes us to be elected. He did not predetermine or predestinate that we must believe. No, but he says, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want you to know that you have a choice. God has not predetermined or predestinated that you be lost, but it is his will to save you. No matter where you've been and what you're into, it is the will of God that every individual be saved. From the beginning of time up until now, mankind has always had a choice. This is the way God set it up all the way back in the garden. Adam and Eve had a choice to obey God or disobey God. They was not forced to sin. They made the choice. Choice was available under the law. And choice is available in this new covenant. You know what? I thank God that he left it up to whosoever will. I'm glad God didn't fix this back in eternity. Who could be saved and who could be lost, because I might have been left out. But God has given us a choice. And therefore, we are responsible. I don't understand. How can you preach and teach that Christ only died for the predestinated ones, and that those who are not predestinated could not be saved if they wanted to, and the blood wasn't even shed for them so they could be saved? If that's true, why is God sending them to hell throughout eternity? They couldn't have did anything to change it. If this was all determined back in the council halls of eternity. But the truth is, everyone that leaves this world unprepared to meet God is going to be able to look back and see, I had an opportunity to get saved. I remember the church services that I sat in when God spoke to my heart, when God dealt with me. I could have got saved. See, if you was predestinated to go to hell and you had no choice in the matter, then you wouldn't have the regret of not making the right decision. And that's going to be a lot of the torment in hell, is people is going to realize, I'm here not because of someone else's choosing. I'm here because I chose this path. You have the choice of where you're going to be in eternity. No one can make that choice for you. Therefore, you are responsible. And it's so wise to make the right choice when it comes to your soul salvation. Let's explain it like this. Let's say that John Doe lives in Mobile, Alabama. But he's been invited to attend a banquet in Columbus, Ohio. The host for the banquet sent John Doe a ticket for a seat on a bus, scheduled to leave Mobile, Alabama at 9:30 a.m. on Wednesday and arrive at Columbus at 12 o'clock the day of the banquet. The destination of the bus has already been predetermined. As soon as Bob steps on the bus, he becomes a participant in this predetermined trip. His ticket assures him he's got a seat on the bus. His destination is certain as far as that goes. However, if John Doe throws away his ticket or loses his ticket before departure, or if he gets off the bus between Mobile and Columbus, he will not arrive at the destination originally intended for him. You know what I believe? God got a ticket for every one of us. He didn't leave any of us out. We got a ticket, friend. We're scheduled to land in heaven at the appointed time. But you know what? I can't get off of the old ship of Zion if I intend to end in the right place, and neither can you. Amen. If we get off the ship before it reaches the destination, we will not enter God's heaven. If we throw away the ticket before aborting, we forfeit our seat on the ship, lose the privilege of participating in that predetermined journey. Is that what you're going to do? Forfeit the ticket that God's given you. He made a way that you could be saved through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm glad it's this way. I'd have a hard time looking into the casket of one of my children, regardless of the circumstances. But if I looked in the casket of one of my children that left this world unprepared to meet God, thinking in my mind, well, my son here, my daughter here, couldn't have been saved if they wanted to because the blood wasn't shed for them, I'd have a hard time dealing with that. But you know what? We can have the faith in God. The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? God always does what's right. And we have to realize, when a loved one leaves this world unprepared to meet God, it was never because God was not faithful to their soul. And if you leave this world unprepared to meet God, it's not going to be because that you didn't have an opportunity. It's not because God didn't love you, because God does love you. And as we said, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. By a born-again experience, we become members of His body. We become participants in his election, and all who refuse the terms laid out in the Word of God will miss heaven and will end up in hell. Men and women have the God-given right and ability to choose their destiny. What about you? Have you chosen to be a part of God's elect? God, listen to every individual. God has laid at your doorstep the awful responsibility of choosing your destiny. That is a big responsibility, to choose your destiny. What have you chose? Have you chose the right path? Are you walking the right path? Are you saved by the grace of God? I wonder, while the pianist and song leader comes at this time, if there would be those that would slip their hand up and say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm a part of the elect, and I don't want to be lost, and I'm getting ready to pray. Do you want to be remembered in this prayer? While no one's looking around, ever head bowed, as there are those that slip their hand up, say, remember me in prayer, because I want to be saved and I don't want to be lost. Father in heaven, thank you for helping us bring the thoughts that you give us. We pray that you'd speak to every individual that's here. Lord, if there's those here that have not made their calling and election sure, may this be the time that they do it. In Jesus' name, everyone stand.